بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب، ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب. سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب، في جيدها حبل من مسد. صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, on the most precious gift of Iman, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla has included us in the Ummah of His beloved Habib, Sayyiduna Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So beloved is our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we shall see in the surah that we look at today. The detrimental repercussions and end result of enmity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes with his dreadful end results. The surah we look at, Suratul Lahab, it is also known as Suratul Masad, where Allah Azza wa Jal says in the surah, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab, that may the hands of Abu Lahab perish, watab, and indeed it is a definite end result that he has reached his destruction. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab, neither his wealth shall avail or benefit him, nor what he has earned. Sayasla naran dhat lahab, very soon he shall roast in a fire that is full of flames. وَمْرَأَتُهُ, and his wife as well. حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ, the carrier or the stealthy carrier of firewood. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ, in her neck there is a rope of twisted palm fibers. This is a literal translation of the surah. As we can see, reference is made to Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, paternal uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, father's brother, was one of those who had staunch enmity toward Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his very own brother's son. He went to great lengths in opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would make concerted efforts to dissuade people from entering Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit the various tribes during the days of Hajj, or visitors towards the city of Makkah Mukarrama, inviting them towards Islam, Abu Lahab would be shortly coming after Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and would say to people that this is my nephew, he is a liar, an imposter, do not listen to what he has to say. His nickname is Abu Lahab, the father of flames, because of a reddish complexion he had. His name was Abdul Uzza, which means the slave of Uzza, one of the idols. So in disliking idol worshipping in any way whatsoever, the Quran does not refer to him by his original name, but rather by Abu Lahab, the title given to him because of his reddish complexion, but also alluding to the fact Lahab means flames, that forever and ever he will roast in the flames of the fire of Jahannam, not only for disbelief, but because of severe enmity and trying to block the advance of Islam and depriving people of Hidayah. The surah was revealed under specific circumstances. The cause of revelation In the very early days, when Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقَرَبِينَ, that warn your close relatives about the impending eternal doom if they do not enter the fold of Islam. So for this purpose, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the Mount Safa and called out in a proclamation an emergency summoning of people when there was a genuine fear of an imminent attack. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out the various clans by their specific names, or the Banu Abdi Manaf, Banu Abdul Muttalib, etc., that they should immediately gather without any delay. Once they had gathered, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mount Safa addressed them and said that if I was to say to you that there is an enemy about to stage an attack morning or evening on the city, will you believe me? And they had known Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life to be Al-Amin, the most trustworthy, As-Sadiq, the absolutely truthful. They had never had even one experience of falsehood from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the salient features and qualities of a mu'min is to create the quality of truthfulness, truthfulness in intention, truthfulness in speech, sincerity and truthfulness in our dealings, very importantly, sincerity and truthfulness in our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. So they say, never once had we ever an experience of falsehood, and we will believe you if you do say so. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inni nadhirul lakum bayna yaday adhabin shadeed, that I am definitely a warner to you of an impending severe chastisement of the fire of Jahannam if you do not enter the fold of Islam and accept Allah Ta'ala in His oneness to believe in me as a messenger. Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, picked up a stone to throw to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Allah says, may his hands be perished. He would also say to his hands that the surah has said these bad things about me, but O hands, no harm has come to you. Therefore Allah says, may the hands of Abu Lahab perish. And then he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm alihada jama'atana, that may you perish and be destroyed. Have you gathered us here for this very trivial purpose? In this urgency, you have called us for something that is very trivial. So Allah Ta'ala, in similar words, he used those words, Tabban, so Allah uses it for him, that may the hands of Abu Lahab perish, and definitely it is guaranteed that he will reach his destruction. So Allah Ta'ala reveals the surah in defending our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala says further, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ, neither his wealth shall benefit him, nor that which he has earned. One meaning given is that the wealth that he had inherited will not benefit him, and the wealth that he had made profits and increased thereafter of his own earnings, none of those forms of wealth will benefit him and save him from the chastisement of the Akhirah. Another interpretation given is, neither his wealth shall benefit him and save him from the fire of Jahannam, nor will his children. Now, this was mentioned because he would sometimes remark and say that if what my nephew is saying is true, that there is a hereafter, that there is a resurrection, that there is Qiyamah, that there is Jahannam, then not a problem. He had an abundance of wealth and many children. So he said, if what my nephew is saying is true, then my wealth and my children will be a means of saving me, will be a means of defending me. Generally in the world, those are the things that benefit a person. So those will avail me and benefit me and save me from the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says, neither his wealth nor his children, offspring, will benefit and save him in any manner whatsoever. What will his fate be in the hereafter? And in fact, even in this dunya, when Allah has said that may Abu Lahab perish and definitely he will reach his destruction, 7 days after the battle of Badr, and here, a very severe warning and lesson for us to take, not to wage enmity towards the friends of Allah Ta'ala, the pious friends of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the detrimental end that he had faced on account of this enmity. 7 days after the Battle of Badr, he was infected with a severe disease such that nobody dared to go close to him. They compelled him to live in his last days on this earth all alone in that extreme pain and illness. Nobody dared going close to him. Eventually he died in solitude. And only 3 days after his death, when there was a stench emanating from that house, did they realize that he had died. The people taunted his sons to get rid of his corpse that had a repugnant and a stench around it. His sons hired some laborers who dug a pit, pushed him, his body into it with a stick, and thereafter covered it with stones. May Allah Ta'ala save us from waging enmity to the friends of Allah Ta'ala. This is one of the things that our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that Allah says, "Man aada li waliyan faqad aadhantuhu bil harb." The one who displays enmity to a friend of Allah Ta'ala, to one who is adherent to Allah Ta'ala's injunctions and lives and practices deen in the true sense of the word and does not bring about compromises, such people will generally face criticism. So Allah Ta'ala says that the one who wages and displays enmity towards a friend of mine's, Allah Ta'ala says, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I personally declare war against such a person. May Allah save us. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is his fate. The surah goes on to say, وَمْرَأَتُهُ. What this is his fate in dunya, in the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala says, سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. That he will soon, in the hereafter, roast in a fire that will be full of severe flames, that he will roast and burn in the flaming fire of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. At all times have this worry, concern, make this dua constantly, that Allah Ta'ala saves us from Jahannam and Allah Ta'ala grants us Jannah. This is as far as he is concerned. The surah takes it further, وَمْرَأَتُهُ. This will also be the fate of his wife. Now, who was his wife? His wife's name was Ummu Jamil, was the sister of one of the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was blessed with hidayat towards Islam, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala an. So she happened to be his sister. She had also went to great lengths in displaying enmity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would gather thorny and prickly branches from the jungles and place it in the pathway of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night, to cause even personal harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She would also dissuade people from Islam, rendered full assistance to her husband in opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the deen of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمْرَأَتُ. The fate of his wife will also be burning, roasting in the flaming fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says about her, about Ummu Jamil, حَمَّلَتَ الْحَطَبِ. Another of her qualities was, the literal translation is, the stealthy and powerful carrier of firewood. One meaning for this is that she used to gather the, as mentioned, the prickly thorns and branches and place it in the pathway of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so as to harm Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the metaphorical meaning, the Arabs would use hammalat al-hatab, the carrier of firewood, to denote a person who carries tales. It is known in Arabic as namima, one who carries tales between people, carries pieces of gossip from one person to another, from one family to another, and the objective is to ignite hatred between people. The carrier of tales is a very severe matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once passing by two graves and said that the inmates of these graves are being punished, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. And they are punished for sins that you may not consider very serious, but they are heinous. One of them used to carry tales between people so as to ignite hatred and enmity, and the other would not take precaution and absolute care at the time of answering the call of nature, not ensuring that the droplets of urine do not get onto the clothing or the body so as to affect the correctness of salah. So the carrying of tales is indeed a very, very serious matter. Fudail bin Ayyad rahimahullah ta'ala says that there are three sins which are such that can put all of a person's good actions and lay them to waste. One is backbiting, speaking ill of people in the absence. The second is the carrying of tales. And the third is telling lies. So telling lies, the carrying of tales, and backbiting. Now here, very, very important that in this time, when we do sincere introspection and change our lives for the better, then one thing we have to make a genuine effort on is huququl ibad, the rights of other people. Whether it is financial rights that we are owing to others, whether it is impeding the dignity and honor of others, whether it is degrading the honor and dignity of others, whether it is backbiting, whether it is carrying tales, whether it is disgracing, humiliating people. These are very, very serious matters. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, do you know who is the true al-muflis, who is the true pauper? They said, Allah and Israel, it means probably that person who does not have gold or silver coins. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the truly bankrupt person of my ummah will be the one who comes on the day of Qiyamah with an abundance of apparent good deeds, but was deficient in huququl ibad, in the rights of others. Had taken the life of the innocent ones, physically abused people, had usurped the financial rights of others, had backbited about so and so, degraded the honor and dignity of another person. So for these, how will the accounts be balanced off? The good deeds of the transgressor, of the person who was deficient in rights to others, would be transferred to the account of the wronged ones. And on the other hand, the sins, if that person's good deeds expire, then the sin of the oppressed person will be transferred to the account of the oppressor. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So she was hammalat al-hatab. She would carry tales of gossip about the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so as to ignite hatred in the heart of people towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, who were already the target of criticism. So let us never add to the firewood that ignites hatred in the hearts of people towards other mu'mineen. Keep our hearts, our tongues clean. Let us not be the means. And especially, many a times it happens, tales of gossip are carried in social media. We receive a message and immediately decide to repost it without thinking, without verifying. Is there any benefit in doing so? Whose honor and dignity will be harmed? It's a very serious matter that we need to give genuine attention to. Do sincere tawbah. If we have harmed people in this way, ask them for forgiveness. It is necessary. Merely tawbah does not suffice alone. We've got to get apologies and ma'af from that person. So Allah Ta'ala says, among Sahinia's qualities is that she used to carry tales. Allah Ta'ala says, fi jidiha hammalat al-hatab, and thereafter, fi jidiha hablum min masad, in her neck will be a rope made of twisted palm fiber. In her neck will be a rope made of twisted palm fiber. So one meaning given is that in this world, despite the fact that she was from a home of high standing and status, she would demean herself in carrying those branches of prickly thorns around her head in order to cause harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had humiliated herself in this manner. Another meaning and the more accepted opinion is that this will be one of the forms of punishment for her in the fire of Jahannam. That as she used to carry in this world the bundles of firewood, of thorns to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will be a chain of fire put as a necklace around her neck in the fire of Jahannam, so as to punish her in the same manner that she had displayed enmity to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she will be the carrier of firewood to ignite the fire upon her husband Abu Lahab in the fire of Jahannam, and herself will have a twisted palm fiber rope around her neck, or a chain of fire around her neck to increase her in her punishment. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to take benefit from the lessons of Quran Azim. Also, we know night and day of Jumu'ah, wherein we are encouraged to increase and recite abundantly salawat and durood sharif upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we see from this surah, Surah Al-Lahab or Surah Al-Masad, the detrimental repercussions of displaying enmity to Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the other hand, contrasting in the opposite end, muhabbat and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, implementing the mubarak ways and mannerisms and the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our lives, obedience to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially as we are encouraged to do so more abundantly on the night and day of Jumu'ah, to recite as much salawat and durood upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that those people who will have the greatest honor of sitting close to me in my majlis, in my gathering on the day of Qiyamah, will be in proportion to this amount of salawat and durood recited. In other words, the more durood and salawat we recite upon Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more closeness we will enjoy, the greater proximity we will enjoy to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his majlis, in his most honorable gathering on the day of Qiyamah. One durood that we try and recite 1,000 times night and day of Jumu'ah, and if one does this, one is guaranteed to not leave this dunya until such a time that Allah Ta'ala shows that person one's place in one's abode in Jannah. And the durood is, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi alfa alfa marrah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi alfa alfa marrah. Let us try and recite Durood Sharif in abundance, encourage our families, our children to do so, inculcate this habit. It is one of the fundamentals of Iman, is excessive muhabbat and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the basis of Iman. Allah Ta'ala exhorts towards this at many places in the Quran Azeem. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Or كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that none of you will attain perfection in Iman until such time I become more beloved to a person than one's parents, one's children, more than any other human being. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to take benefit. Going on to the second part of the lesson, which is the reading of the great kitab, Shauqe Watan, The Desire for the Akhirah. So the honor and respect that Allah Ta'ala confers upon a person at the time of death and in the stages thereafter through the barakat of Iman. We look at the following chapter, chapter 7, which is honor and respect at the time of tajheez and takfeen. So Allah Ta'ala gives that person a special honor even whilst the body is being washed and the kafan is being placed on the body. The barakat of Iman, Allah Ta'ala gives that person more and more honor. Sayyidina Amr bin Dinar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that the ruh, Amr bin Dinar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says the ruh of a deceased person remains in the hands of an angel after death, from where it observes how the body is being given ghusl and how the kafan is being put on, the shroud is being put on, and how the body is being carried. While the body is still on the bier and it is being washed and clad in kafan, the angel says to that person's ruh, listen to the people praising you. Listen to the people praising you. One habit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages is that when a person passes away, then mention the good qualities. Udhkuru mahasina mawtakum, for it forms a kind of testimony in favor of that person. And this statement of Amr bin Dinar backs it up. In the commentary of this, as Ibn Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah ta'ala says, the same type of narration has been mentioned in Ibn Abi Dunya from Sufyan rahimahullah ta'ala. The malaika say the same thing to him. The aim of the angel is to show the respect of the people at that moment and create hope for the future of the deceased. So these testimonies in favor, the angels say to the ruh of that person that look how people are praising, testifying in your favor. And that testimony will carry great weight. Going to the next chapter, chapter number 8, which is the respect and love for a mu'min in the skies. When a person generally becomes obedient to Allah Ta'ala, brings alive deen in its entirety, Allah Ta'ala makes a declaration of love for that person. Allah is loving at all times. Allah is Wadud, extremely loving. Allah is Rahman, abundantly merciful. Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is perpetually merciful. But important that we adopt those things that are the means of drawing the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. You know the famous dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nas'aluka mujibati rahmatik, that Ya Allah, we ask you to guide us towards those things that will bring your mercy speedily upon us. So the respect that a mu'min has, the respect and love for a mu'min even in the heavens and the skies. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith is in Tirmidhi, ma min insanin illa lahu babani fi sama, بَابٌ يَصْعَدُ مِنْهُ عَمَلُهُ وَبَابٌ يَنْزِلُ مِنْهُ رِزْقُهُ فَإِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَكَيَا عَلَيْهِ. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, the khadim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every human being, there are two doors in the sky. As we are living at this moment, there are two doors in the skies for every person. One towards which a person's deeds and a'mal ascend. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Azeem, that pious deeds are taken up, ascended, presented to Allah Ta'ala. So one door from which the deeds of a person ascends towards the heavens, and the second door, the other, from which the rizq and sustenance of a person descends to earth. So one, good deeds ascend through it, or the deeds generally ascend through it, and the other is from which rizq and sustenance decreed by Allah Ta'ala descends. When a mu'min, a sincere believer, passes away, both doors weep for that person. Subhanallah. That they lament the departure of that person from dunya, because the presence of a person who is obedient to Allah Ta'ala brings favorable circumstances that benefit the entire creation. So both of those doors weep on the passing on of a mu'min. Furthermore, the respect and love for a mu'min on earth. The next chapter, which is the respect and love that a mu'min enjoys even on the earth. Atta al-Khurasani rahimahullah ta'ala says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ فِي بُقْعَةٍ مِّنْ بُقَاعِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا شَهِدَتْ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَبَكَتْ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ يَمُوتْ أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو نُعَيْمٍ. Atta al-Khurasani rahimahullah ta'ala says that any bondsman of Allah, any servant of Allah who makes sajda, prostrates before Allah on any portion of the earth, then that portion of the earth will give evidence on the person's behalf and weep for that person on the day of death. So all those pieces of earth on which there was any obedience to Allah, dhikrullah, sajda, any helping the creation of Allah Ta'ala, good deeds done on various pieces of earth, there are two things that earth will testify in favor of a person on the day of Qiyamah, mentioned in the verse, يَوْمَيْذِن تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. But also at the same time, those pieces of earth shed tears and weep on the departure of such a person from dunya. Inshallah, in the lessons to come, we will look at further hadith under this very topic. The respect and love that a mu'min enjoys on earth. Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to use these opportunities to turn and become closer to Allah Ta'ala, to adopt those means that bring the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Also, we turn to Allah Ta'ala with sincere tawbah and repentance. One of those things that brings Allah Ta'ala's mercy more speedily is to forsake haram and sin and to turn genuinely repentant to Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah, the next lesson will be a shorter lesson that we can listen to, inshallah, prior to the Jummah khutbah, some Jummah advices that will be given as the next lesson, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.